Éomer and Aragorn stood together on the Deeping Wall. They heard the roar of voices and the thudding of the rams, and then in a sudden flash of light they beheld the peril of the gates.
"Come," said Aragorn,
"this is the hour when we draw swords together." Running like fire, they sped along the wall and up the steps, and passed into the outer court upon the rock. As they ran, they gathered a handful of stout swordsmen. There was a small postern door that opened in an angle of the berg wall on the west, where the cliff stretched out to meet it. On that side a narrow path ran around towards the great gate, between the wall and the sheer brink of the rock. Together Éomer and Aragorn sprang through the door, their men close behind. The swords flashed from the sheath as one.
"Guthwiner," cried Éomer, "Guthwiner for the mark."
"Andúril," cried Aragorn, "Andúril for the Dúnedain."
Charging from the side, they hurled themselves upon the wild men. Andúril rose and fell, gleaming with white fire. A shout went up from wall and tower.
"Andúril! Andúril goes to war! The blade that was broken shines again!"
Dismayed, the rammers let fall the trees and turned to fight. But the wall of their shields was broken as by a lightning stroke, and they were swept away, hewn down, or cast over the rock into the stony stream below. The orc archers shot wildly and then fled. For a moment Éomer and Aragorn halted before the gates. The thunder was rumbling in the distance now. The lightning flickered still, far off among the mountains in the south. A keen wind was blowing from the north again. The clouds were torn and drifting, and stars peeped out. And above the hills of the Coombside the westering moon rode, glimmering yellow in the storm rack.
"We didn't come too soon," said Aragorn, looking at the gates. Their great hinges and iron bars were wrenched and bent. Many of their timbers were cracked.
"Yet we can't stay here beyond the walls to defend them," said Éomer.
"Look," he pointed to the causeway. Already a great press of orcs and men were gathered again beyond the stream. Arrows whined and skipped on the stones about them.
"Come! We must get back and see what we can do to pile stone and beam across the gates within. Come now."
They turned and ran. At that moment some 24 orcs, that had lain motionless among the slain, leapt to their feet and came silently and swiftly behind. Two flung themselves to the ground at Éomer's heels, tripped him, and in a moment they were on top of him. But a small dark figure that none had observed sprang out of the shadows and gave a hoarse shout.
"Barúk Khazad! Khazad I Menu!"
An axe swung and swept back. Two orcs fell headless. The rest fled. Éomer struggled to his feet, even as Aragorn ran back to his aid. The postern was closed again. The iron door was barred and piled inside with stones. When all was safe within, Éomer turned.
"I thank you, Gimli, son of Glóin," he said. "I didn't know that you were with us in the sortie, but oft the unbidden guest proves the best company. How came you here?"
"I followed you to shake off sleep," said Gimli, "but I looked on the hillmen and they seemed over large for me, so I sat beside a stone to see your sword play."
"I shan't find it easy to repay you," said Éomer.
"There may be many a chance ere the night is over," laughed the dwarf, "but I am content. Till now I've hewn naught but wood since I left Moria."
"Two," said Gimli, patting his axe.
He'd turned to his place on the wall.
"Two," said Legolas. "I've done better, though now I must grope for spent arrows. All mine are gone. Yet I make my tale 20 at the least. But that's only a few leaves in a forest."
The sky now was quickly clearing, and the sinking moon was shining brightly. But the light brought little hope to the riders of the mark. The enemy before them seemed to have grown rather than diminished, and still more were pressing up from the valley through the breach. The sortie upon the rock gained only a brief respite. The assault on the gates was redoubled. Against the Deeping Wall the hosts of Isengard roared like a sea. Orcs and hillmen swarmed about its feet from end to end. Ropes with grappling hooks were hurled over the parapet, faster than men could cut them or fling them back. Hundreds of long ladders were lifted up. Many were cast down in ruin, but many more replaced them, and orcs sprang up them like apes in the dark forests of the south. Before the wall's foot, the dead and broken were piled like shingle in a storm. Ever higher rose the hideous mounds, and still the enemy came on. The men of Rohan grew weary. All their arrows were spent, and every shaft was shot. Their swords were notched, and their shields were riven. 3 times Aragorn and Éomer rallied them, and 3 times Andúril flamed in a desperate charge that drove the enemy from the wall. Then a clamour arose in the deep behind. Orcs had crept like rats through the culvert through which the stream flowed out. There they had gathered in the shadow of the cliffs, until the assault above was hottest, and nearly all the men of the defence had rushed to the wall's top. Then they sprang out. Already some had passed into the jaws of the deep, and were among the horses, fighting with the guards. Down from the wall leapt Gimli with a fierce cry that echoed in the cliffs. "Khazad! Khazad!" He soon had work enough.
"Aye, oi!" he shouted. "The orcs are behind the wall! Aye, oi! Come, Legolas! There are enough for us both! Khazad, aye, Menu!"
Gambling the Old looked down from the Hornburg, hearing the great voice of the dwarf above all the tumult.
"The orcs are in the deep!" he cried. "Helm! Helm! Forth, Helmingas!"
He shouted as he leapt down the stair from the rock with many men of Westfold at his back. Their onset was fierce and sudden, and the orcs gave way before them. Ere long they were hemmed in the narrows of the gorge, and all were slain or driven shrieking into the chasm of the deep, to fall before the guardians of the hidden caves.
21! Cried Gimli.
He hewed a two-handed stroke and laid the last orc before his feet.
"Now my count passes Master Legolas again."
"We must stop this rat-hole," said Gambling. "Dwarves are said to be cunning folk with stone. Lend us your aid, Master."
"We don't shape stone with battle-axes, nor with our fingernails," said Gimli. "But I'll help as I may."
They gathered such small boulders and broken stones as they could find to hand, and under Gimli's direction the Westfold men blocked up the inner end of the culvert until only a narrow outlet remained. Then the deeping stream, swollen by the rain, churned and fretted in its choked path and spread slowly in cold pools from cliff to cliff.
"It will be drier above," said Gimli. "Come, Gambling, let's see how things go on the wall."
He climbed up and found Legolas beside Aragorn and Éomer. The elf was whetting his long knife. There was for a while a lull in the assault, since the attempt to break in through the culvert had been foiled.
21, said Gimli.
"Good," said Legolas, "but my count is now 24. It's been knife work up here."
Éomer and Aragorn leant wearily on their swords. Away on the left, the crash and clamour of the battle on the rock rose loud again, but the Hornburg still held fast, like an island in the sea. Its gates lay in ruin, but over the barricade of beams and stones within, no enemy as yet had passed. Aragorn looked at the pale stars and at the moon, now sloping behind the western hills that enclosed the valley.
"This is a night as long as years," he said. "How long will the day tarry?"
"Dawn is not far off," said Gambling,
who had now climbed up beside him.
"But dawn won't help us, I fear."
"Yet dawn is ever the hope of men," said Aragorn.
"But these creatures of Isengard, these half-orcs and goblin men that the foul craft of Saruman has bred, they'll not quail at the sun," said Gambling. "And neither will the wild men of the hills. Don't you hear their voices?"
"I hear them," said Éomer. "But they're only the scream of birds and the bellowing of beasts to my ears."
"Yet there are many that cry in the Dunland tongue," said Gambling. "I know that tongue. It's an ancient speech of men, and once was spoken in many western valleys of the Mark. Hark! They hate us, and they're glad, for our doom seems certain to them. The king, they cry. We'll take their king. Death to the Forgoyle, death to the Strawheads, death to the robbers of the north."
Such names they have for us.
Not in half a thousand years have they forgotten their grievance that the lords of Gondor gave the mark to Eol the Young and made alliance with him. That old hatred Saruman has inflamed. They're fierce folk when aroused. They'll not give way now for Dusk or Dawn until Theron is taken, or they themselves are slain.
Nonetheless, day will bring hope to me, said Aragorn. Is it not said that no foe has ever taken the Hornburg, if men defended it?
So the minstrels say, said Eomer.
Then let us defend it, and hope, said Aragorn. Even as they spoke, there came a blare of trumpets. Then there was a crash and a flash of flame and smoke. The waters of the deeping stream poured out hissing and foaming. They were choked no longer. A gaping hole was blasted in the wall. A host of dark shapes poured in.
Devilry of Saruman, cried Aragorn. They've crept in the culvert again while we talked, and they've lit the fire of Orthanc beneath our feet. Elendil! Elendil! He shouted, as he leapt down into the breach.
But even as he did so, 100 ladders were raised against the battlements. Over the wall and under the wall, the last assault came sweeping like a dark wave upon a hill of sand. The defense was swept away. Some of the riders were driven back, further and further into the deep, falling and fighting as they gave way, step by step, towards the caves. Others cut their way back towards the citadel. A broad stairway climbed from the deep up to the rock and the rear gate of the Hornburg. Near the bottom stood Aragorn. In his hand still, Andúril gleamed, and the terror of the sword for a while held back the enemy, as one by one all who could gain the stair passed up towards the gate. Behind on the upper steps knelt Legolas. His bow was bent, but one gleaned arrow was all that he had left, and he peered out now, ready to shoot the first orc that should dare to approach the stair. "All who can have now got safe within, Aragorn," he called. "Come back!" Aragorn turned and sped up the stair, but as he ran he stumbled in his weariness. At once his enemies leapt forward. Up came the orcs, yelling, with their long arms stretched out to seize him. The foremost fell with Legolas's last arrow in his throat, but the rest sprang over him. Then a great boulder, cast from the outer wall above, crashed down upon the stair and hurled them back into the deep. Aragorn gained the door, and swiftly it clanged to behind him.
"Things go ill, my friends," he said, wiping the sweat from his brow with his arm.
"Ill enough," said Legolas, "but not yet hopeless. While we have you with us, where's Gimli?"
"I don't know," said Aragorn. "I last saw him fighting on the ground behind the wall, but the enemy swept us apart."
"Alas, that's evil news," said Legolas.
"He's stout and strong," said Aragorn. "Let's hope that he'll escape back to the caves. There he'd be safe for a while, safer than we. Such a refuge would be to the liking of a dwarf."
"That must be my hope," said Legolas. "But I wish that it'd come this way. I desired to tell Master Gimli that my tale is now 39.
"If he wins back to the caves, he'll pass your count again," laughed Aragorn. "Never did I see an axe so wielded."
"I must go and seek some arrows," said Legolas. "Would that this night would end, and I could have better light for shooting." Aragorn now passed into the citadel. There, to his dismay, he learned that Eomer hadn't reached the Hornburg.
"Nay, he didn't come to the rock," said one of the Westfold men.
"I last saw him gathering men about him and fighting in the mouth of the deep. Gamling was with him, and the dwarf, but I couldn't come to them." Aragorn strode on through the inner court and mounted to a high chamber in the tower. There stood the king, dark against a narrow window, looking out upon the vale.
"What is the news, Aragorn?" he said. "The deeping wall is taken, lord, and all the defense swept away, but many have escaped hither to the rock."
"Is Eomer here?"
"No, lord, but many of your men retreated into the deep, and some say that Eomer was amongst them. In the narrows they may hold back the enemy and come within the caves. What hope they may have then, I don't know."
"More than we. Good provision, it said, and the air is wholesome there because of the outlets through fissures in the rock far above. None can force an entrance against determined men.
They may hold out long.
But the orcs have brought a devilry from Orthanc, said Aragorn. They have a blasting fire, and with it they took the wall. If they can't come in the caves, they may seal up those that are inside. But now we must turn all our thoughts to our own defence.
I fret in this prison, said Theoden. If I could have set a spear in rest, riding before my men upon the field, maybe I could have felt again the joy of battle, and so ended. But I serve little purpose here.
Here at least you are guarded in the strongest fastness of the mark, said Aragorn. More hope we have to defend you in the Hornburg than in Edoras, or even at Dunharrow in the mountains.
It's said that the Hornburg has never fallen to assault, said Theoden. But now my heart is doubtful. The world changes, and all that once was strong now proves unsure. How shall any tower withstand such numbers and such reckless hate? Had I known that the strength of Isengard was grown so great, maybe I shouldn't so rashly have ridden forth to meet it, for all the arts of Gandalf. His counsel seems not now so good as it did under the morning sun.
Don't judge the counsel of Gandalf until all is over, Lord, said Aragorn.
The end will not be long, said the king.
But I won't end here, taken like an old badger in a trap. Snowmane and Harsofell and the horses of my guard are in the inner court. When dawn comes, I'll bid my men sound helm's horn, and I'll ride forth.
Will you ride with me, then, son of Arathorn?
Maybe we shall cleave a road, or make such an end as will be worth a song, if any be left to sing of us hereafter.
I'll ride with you, said Aragorn.
Taking his leave, he returned to the walls, and passed round all their circuit, enheartening the men, and lending aid wherever the assault was hot. Legolas went with him. Blasts of fire leapt up from below, shaking the stones. Grappling hooks were hurled, and ladders raised. Again and again the orcs gained the summit of the outer wall, and again the defenders cast them down. At last Aragorn stood above the great gates, heedless of the darts of the enemy. As he looked forth, he saw the eastern sky grow pale. Then he raised his empty hand, palm outward in token of parley.
The orcs yelled and jeered.
Come down! Come down! They cried. If you wish to speak to us, come down! Bring out your king! We're the fighting Uruk-hai! We'll fetch him from his hole if he doesn't come! Bring out your skulking king!
The king stays or comes at his own will, said Aragorn.
Then what are you doing here?
They answered.
Why do you look out? Do you wish to see the greatness of our army? We are the fighting Uruk-hai.
I looked out to see the dawn, said Aragorn.
What of the dawn?
They jeered.
We are the Uruk-hai. We don't stop the fight for night or day, for fair weather or for storm. We come to kill by sun or moon. What of the dawn?
None knows what the new day shall bring him, said Aragorn. Get you gone, ere it turn to your evil.
Get down, or we'll shoot you from the wall, they cried. This is no party. You've nothing to say.
I have still this to say, answered Aragorn. No enemy has yet taken the Hornburg. Depart, or not one of you will be spared. Not one will be left alive to take back tidings to the north. You don't know your peril. So great a power and royalty was revealed in Aragorn as he stood there alone above the ruined gates before the host of his enemies, that many of the wild men paused and looked back over their shoulders to the valley, and some looked up doubtfully at the sky. But the orcs laughed with loud voices, and a hail of darts and arrows whistled over the wall as Aragorn leaped down. There was a roar and a blast of fire. The archway of the gate above which he had stood a moment before crumbled and crashed in smoke and dust. The barricade was scattered as if by a thunderbolt. Aragorn ran to the king's tower. But even as the gate fell, and the orcs about it yelled, preparing to charge, a murmur arose behind them, like a wind in the distance, and it grew to a clamour of many voices crying strange news in the dawn. The orcs upon the rock, hearing the rumour of dismay, wavered and looked back, and then,
sudden and terrible, from the tower above, the sound of the great horn of Helm rang out. All that heard that sound trembled. Many of the orcs cast themselves on their faces and covered their ears with their claws. Back from the deep the echoes came, blast upon blast, as if on every cliff and hill a mighty herald stood. But on the walls men looked up, listening with wonder, for the echoes didn't die. Ever the horn blasts wound on among the hills. Nearer now and louder they answered one to another, blowing fierce and free.
"Helm! Helm!" the rider shouted. "Helm is arisen and comes back to war. Helm for Theoden King!"
And with that shout the king came. His horse was white as snow, golden was his shield, and his spear was long. At his right hand was Aragorn, Elendil's heir. Behind him rode the lords of the house of Eorl the Young. Light sprang in the sky. Night departed.
"Forth, Eorlingers!"
With a cry and a great noise they charged. Down from the gates they roared. Over the causeway they swept, and they drove through the hosts of Isengard as a wind among grass. Behind them from the deep came the stern cries of men issuing from the caves, driving forth the enemy. Out poured all the men that were left upon the rock.